Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I'm sure this joke was passed around the internet many times yesterday. It's the first time that I saw it this morning, but Ed Ahern checks in on the Shador speeding story and says, what's the big deal with Shador going 101 in a 60? He was supposed to go 25 and went 144 in April.
See how these jokes, they circle them?
Yeah.
They circle around?
Yep.
You know, back in the day, good joke like that, you came up with it. I could say it on the air, and then not everybody, like, we would be the people that everybody heard say. Now, this joke has been recycled, chewed up, and spit out 50 million times
since
the time we get on the air.
And these jokes happen quite quickly.
Yeah. I don't want to do a full segment on this.
Okay.
But did you get a text from Big Hurls yesterday asking you a question that the afternoon show was doing?
I don't think so.
You didn't?
I don't. Maybe I did. I'm not sure.
So I'm thinking, like, what? So, Big Hurls, Evan and Tiki are revealing their King of New York on Friday at Fanatics Fest. Current New York athlete of your choice. He goes, I'm tallying all the votes of the on-air talent and some behind the scenes as well. Who is your vote?
Oh, me? You know, maybe I did get it. Let me see. No, I did not get it.
You didn't?
No.
Maybe they're trolling me.
Is this again now?
I just read it to you.
But I was looking for the text that he may have sent to me.
Hi, Gio. Evan and Tiki are revealing their King of New York on Friday at Fanatics Fest. Current New York athlete of your choice. I am tallying all of the votes of the on-air talent and some behind the scenes as well. Who is your vote? Thank you.
Okay.
So I said, who, Oscar Brazelbon? So he never got back to me after that.
Okay, he didn't. Okay.
But they didn't ask you?
I don't think so. Did he send that to you directly?
Yeah.
Or was that a part of a...
Did they ask you, Fleegs?
No, I was not asked.
So this is... I think they're just messing with me then. They're not asking anybody else. How do they not ask Fleegs?
I mean, you're the guy, though.
I'm not the guy.
You're the guy.
I think I care about who the king of New York sports is. Not the guy.
Let me see.
You kidding me? Who would you say, Fleegs?
I guess it's Judge.
Yeah. That's actually what I did say.
2 weeks ago, I would have said Jalen Brunson, but then the Knicks ticked me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not Jalen Brunson's fault. I mean, you know, they fired a coach, and nobody that I know can make any sense out of any of that.
It's not. You're right. I'm mad at the Knicks, and I'm not a Yankees fan, so even if Judge slumps, I don't care. So nothing's going to change my opinion of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I did end up sending Judge. That's who I sent.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's a hard thing to argue. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, I saw this yesterday, and I'm so jealous of this guy.
What about Stewie?
Stewie? Brianna Stewart?
Yeah.
As Eddie, it's Stewie. But then Stewie got involved, and then all of a sudden held Brooke loose. Anyway, so I saw this yesterday. I was so jealous of this guy. So our guy, Adam Schefter, you see what he's doing? He's walking around the Travelers Championship for ESPN doing, like, course commentating, following around the Keegan Bradley group.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, and I know Adam loves golf, loves playing golf, loves watching golf. And, yeah, he is following. I got this text yesterday. Rory and Keegan tomorrow. So I don't know if they're in the same group, but he's following Rory and Keegan tomorrow out there at the Travelers. So this is the time for him because he's probably, inundated all the time. NFL News, talk to this guy.
Well, you play golf with him. You saw he was on his phone pretty much, I don't know, at least 50% of the time.
Well, you got to be, you know, if you're him. But he's like, you know what? This is the time. These silly camps are going on. I'm going to go out there and do something else. It's my passion. I'll follow these guys around. And I was like, damn, that is cool.
And he is actually going to be on the telecast. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so ESPN is carrying it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll be on the first couple rounds, I guess, and be ESPN Plus. So, yeah.
All right, so that'd be interesting. So I'm just wondering, I guess, is Scotty Van Pelt doing the, or is Mike, I don't even know who does.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Who is the actual host of it all?
I just thought it was interesting, because you know that.
It's a CBS property, right?
Yes, but I think that the first couple rounds, it's one of those ESPN, crossover things, you know?
Sure, yeah.
It's one of those crossover deals. So yeah, he was like, he probably asked to do this, don't you think? Because he loves golf so much, like they didn't go to him. Adam Schefter will serve as on-course reporter at the Travelers Championship. Most familiar faces in sports television. Schefter's trading the sideline. This is from Golf Week. Schefter's trading the sideline for the golf course this week. Will work as a featured group commentator on ESPN Plus this week as the PGA Tour's 2025 Travelers Championship.
As I watch you drive around in a cart before you actually did play golf, I guess you were doing your own announcing at my golf tournament.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at that. That is skinny Gio, the non-golfer, right there on TV.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
Yeah, I didn't have my shirt tucked in. I should have. But I didn't know. I wasn't playing. I didn't know the rules.
I love the fact that you're driving on the car. You're doing commentary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I had no clue. It's crazy. There's Wally. God. Just think about all the dollars from this moment on that I had to hand Wally after this because of those golf balls and clubs. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say this was 2019. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. So pre-COVID.
Yeah, yes. He said yes. Pre-COVID.
Okay.
So
Adam Schefter is doing something that you would have loved to have done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe we can get a little something going on with CBS one of these days, and maybe they'll invite you out there maybe to Pebble Beach or something and do some,
well, we're working some announcing. On that.
I don't know if Jim Nantz would like that, though.
Oh, I would take that. So they'd probably be like, oh, this guy, you know, it'd be make a mockery of it. He just does jokes and everything. It's like, no. I would take that so seriously. And, like, I always thought, too, like, you know, you have to be really good at golf to do something like that. But now that I know Schefter's doing it, like, I'm...
Anybody can do it, right? Yes.
I can do it. I'm pretty sure we beat them.
Yes.
Pretty sure we beat Adam.
Yep.
If I remember correctly. I think I won more holes than Schefter.
Yes, okay.
So I think I could get that microphone as well.
Yeah, but you both have the same thing in common, the gift of gab.
Yeah, that's right.
And you do have the golf parlance down right now.
Oh, you kidding me? I'm parlancing my ass off.
You are, man.
I'd be out there. Like, I'm curious. I want to go and watch some of this of him today because, like, is he going to criticize a bad shot of Keegan Bradley's? You know, you're like, how do you do that if you know you're like, if Schefter's like a 25 handicap?
Well, the other thing, too, is you got to really know the golf course. So we've been up there. Did you play it?
I did play it.
Okay.
I did play it, yeah.
Yeah, so you know the golf course. You know what it's all about. You know it's usually a low score. And, yeah, that would be interesting to listen to you. I guess it's going to be kind of interesting to listen to Adam as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you know he's going to be great at it, and you know that he's going to be prepared. I just wonder, like, would his job be like, whoa, man, push that one a little right into the sand track.
Like Roger Maltby? Let's go down to Raj.
Yeah.
Go down to Adam.
Yeah, is he going to be like, man, you know, he chunked that one a little bit, hit that thin, but got away with it. Like, is he going to be doing that type of stuff? I don't know. Be pretty fun to watch. All right, let's get some more calls in. Dylan's in Stony Brook, wants to talk some Yankees this morning. What's going on, Dylan?
Morning, Boomer and Gio. First time caller, long time listener.
All right, Dylan, what's up, man?
What's going on? I got to shout out Al. He probably doesn't remember. About 6 weeks ago, I shot him a DM on X. My buddy was getting married. He shouted him out with Jerry on the warm-up show. So thank you for that, Al. He loved it. He heard it, and it was very appreciated.
Well, Al is at he is out today, but he may be listening, and we'll make sure that he knows tomorrow that you said thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. My point about the Yanks is that the fans just hype up these prospects way too much and put the expectations on them. These guys come out, I mean, comparing anybody to Derek Jeter at any time as a Yankee is just not something anybody should ever do. And they put pressure on these guys like Volpe to go out there and perform. Some guy was making that point, the last caller that called in, and in the same breath, he ripped off three prospects. I mean, I know Lombard, but the other two guys none of us have ever even heard of. So the fans get these guys hyped up about players. They go out there, they expect the guy to hit 300 and be winning four World Series just for the team. And in reality, that's just not going to be the case. Guys like Derek Jeter, guys like Judge are one in a million players that we get. And most of these guys aren't going to live up to that expectation.
Yeah, and that was sort of my point. Yeah, Dylan, good call, man, and thanks for making it. You know, that was sort of my point this morning when we were talking about Aaron Judge, even the season that he's having. Like, you can't fully just sit back and enjoy it without comparing him to other Yankee greats and Anthony Volpe being the shadow of Derek Jeter. And, yes, it is certainly... You worked your way up to the majors to have the honor to put on that Yankee uniform, and that's something that is great for the player, but also comes with a lot of that stuff. So, and I like, and when you say, you know, the Yankees, like Dylan said, it was the fans, which I agree, more so that are pumping stuff up than the organization. But let's say the organization puts out a video of a kid in single A who's doing something special. I mean, they're doing that because they also would like people to show up at their games.
They do, but I also want to say once again that when we get close to the trade deadline, all of a sudden, all of these prospects are ranked.
Yeah.
And there's a ranking system, and, you know, if the Yankees do make a trade, oh, they traded their fourth and their seventh ranked player out of, you know, out of their minors. And that also heightens the awareness of, you know, what they're trying to do and what they're willing to give up. And at one point in time, I'm guessing Anthony Volpe was seen as the future shortstop of the Yankees, the most important position on the field. And quite frankly, they're going to give him every chance to succeed. I mean, he's kind of been a middling player. That's the thing. Like 2 weeks, boom, great player, smooth out in the smooth on the field. But then all of a sudden, there come those, you know, those 2 weeks where all of a sudden the mistakes start happening, both on the base path, at the position, and in the batter's box.
Yeah, which is not a great threesome there.
No.
Chris Seacliff, what's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's all right, Chris? What's going on?
Adam Scheffler. Doing well. So Adam and I, we bump into each other quite often. We live in the same town. My kids went to school with his up in the North Shore of Long Island. And by the way, Boomer, Manhattan's part of the North Shore of Long Island.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just as bougie as you are when I'm home. Yeah, sure.
So we share the same barber, and I've sat next to him while he's getting his hair cut. He literally has two phones. He's looking at one. He's got another one in his ear. So just wanted to comment on that.
That's how he has made his living, and he is made himself he's like a cottage industry. It's almost as if, you know, he is the Mel Kiper of inside information. Like, he was the first one to really get into that. Chris Mortensen was also one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, and it started with the NFL Network with Adam, and then he ended up going to ESPN. But, yeah, I mean, you have to work hard and be on the phone and with contacts in order to
be right.
Right, to be him. And he's obviously, you know, gotten paid handsomely for being the best in the business at it. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if I were that barber too, and I was an NFL fan, like, it would be really hard for me to not, like, look over and see what he was texting and, wow. Is that true? Well, what's that guy's name? Oh, that's the GM of the Panthers? You know, like, I would be all over that. I mean, he's probably got to tell his barber, like, listen, man, this is all, you know, you can't be spewing this stuff out on your Reddit page.
You know how many NFL fans there are, right, and how passionate the NFL fan is?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people would want the job that Adam Schefter has?
I mean to get paid the way he's getting paid, too?
Yeah, of course he's getting paid, but the information pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
Within all 32 clubs, for the most part, maybe with the exception of the Jets right now.
Right, until they get that job and realize how much pressure there is to be first and right and all of that.
You got
to
be first and right.
Breathing down your neck and all that.
I always find it interesting, though, because sometimes they'll put him on shows where they ask for his opinion. And that's not really what he's about.
Right.
Remember, he's about, you know, giving you inside information or telling you something that, you know, you had no idea that this was happening. And all of a sudden, it is going to happen. And it could be player movement. It could be coach firings. It could be announcements by the league. It could be anything that has to do with the NFL. You know, and he created the, I think, like I said, Chris Mortensen was great at it. But I think Adam took it to another level to now all of a sudden we see other sports having that same kind of correspondent.
Yeah, and if you think about it too, like you have guys who do a particular thing and then also want to do other stuff. So like, you know, Adam's doing the information thing. He probably wants to give his opinion occasionally. He's doing the NFL stuff. He wants to do some golf stuff. It's like, you know, Shaq playing basketball. He wanted to put out a rap album. You get guys who are musicians who want to be actors. I mean, it's sort of like when you get you do the thing that you've been doing for so long, you want to dip your toes in something else. And I think that's where the opinion stuff comes from, and obviously what he's doing today on the golf course. So, by the way, I did get Big Hurls texting me, our brand manager ambassador, Big Hurls. And I was talking about how I got a text from Big Hurls yesterday asking me who was my King of New York pick, because Evan and Tiki are revealing their King of New York on Friday at Fanatics Fest. And then I asked if you got that text. You did not get that text. But apparently Big Hurls asked you in person, and you gave him an answer. Do you have any recollection of that?
Yes.
Okay. Remember what your answer was?
Aaron Judge.
Okay. Let's see if you're right about that. Eddie, you apparently were asked in person as well.
I think I probably said Judge.
Nobody can remember anything around here. It's amazing.
I really don't care about it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I'm surprised you didn't say Stewie.
Stewie. Can I go with Stewie?
Well, she's the only one with a championship.
That's true.
Oh, ayo.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I've said many times that if we had it in our budget, we need to hire Joey from Yonkers. He's a guy I've known for a long time, all the way back to the Joe and Everton producer days. And I would do those Buffalo Wild Wings shows, and Joey would be there at those shows. And he showed up at kickoff to summer this year. He comes to every appearance that we have. He really is a great guy and a super fan. So we were talking about the last time that the Mets and Yankees had combined for this many losses in a row. And Joey did find it. He said August 1996, believe it or not, 96, a championship year for the New York Yankees. August 96, the last time both teams simultaneously lost five straight. And that was, 8/25/1996. And it started with the Mets had a longer losing streak. And theirs started back at 8/21 and went all the way through 8/30, the Mets in 96. And the Yankees had a five-game losing streak from 8/25, August 25th, to August 29th. So there you go. If you're looking for that answer, you baseball nerds, you got it. Joey and Yonkers.
I mean, the fact that Fleeks asked me that this morning, you know, as we're doing the sports minutes, and I had no answer for him because I never could ever remember any week quite like this.
Yeah. And here we are.
Yep.
It was how many years later? Jeez. Almost 20 years later that you, 21 years later that you started.
You would have been in training camps and not paying attention.
Yeah. Exactly. Out in Arizona.
Really not paying attention.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo. We just talked about a lot of losses for these guys.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It was another loss for the Yankees. So that's six in a row for them. They came up short against the Angels 3-2, but they did snap their scoreless streak courtesy of a Jazz Chisholm solo homer, as well as last night's thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion.
Here's the 0-1 pitch, high drive right field, and Belly has broken out of it right there. Fourth row home run, 2-1 Yankees.
That's Dave Sims here on The Fan. Bellinger 2-for-4, including that homer, his 10th of the season. We make him our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Anthony Volpe in this game had a caught stealing at the big error on a double play ball in the eighth, which allowed the go-ahead run to score, and then struck out to end it, not even close, on a Kenley Jansen 95-mile-per-hour cutter, which was pretty much right down the middle. Here was Volpe afterwards on the team's overall struggles.
We know we're not getting the job done, so we're going to keep working and holding each other to that, and I'm going to hold myself to that. So, you know, we're just not performing.
Neither is Aaron Judge. All of a sudden, his first true slump of the season. He was 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts last night. Now 3 for his last 28 with 17 Ks. His thoughts?
It's baseball. You know, you hit two balls hard today and don't get rewarded for it. So it's, like I said, I got to show up tomorrow and just do my job. That's about it.
And beyond himself, in terms of the team and what they're going through, he says it'll pass.
I've been through situations like this. I think you guys asked us the same questions last June when we were going through it. So, you know, guys have been there. You know, we just got to show up and, you know, not mope about it.
And it is true.
This no moping.
Last year, they were in a stretch where they lost 14.
Wise caddy once told me
18.
No hang dogging.
All right.
Not going to have that around here. You pick up that head, you go hit that next shot. No hang dogging.
That's Yankee, exactly
same
right.
Thing. Pick yourself up. You got an afternoon game today. Enough with the bull crap. No moping, no hang dogging.
I mean, the fact that Aaron Judge is batting 083 in the last seven games is remarkable.
And still hitting 370. Mm-hmm.
But it's remarkable.
Law of averages. He was due for
it. Yeah, I mean, they're human beings. We all know that.
Regression to the mean spot.
Yeah. Although I would say, as human beings, they are the top 1%.
Oh, maybe even less than that.
Yeah.
You know, when you break down the odds, get into the big leagues.
Yeah.
Very slim. Well, we'll see. If they could not mope around this afternoon, Carlos Rodon will go out there on the mound, opposed by Tyler Anderson. Pregame 12:25 here on The Fan and the Free.
Bet you that crowd is going to be huge today for a pre-schools out Thursday afternoon game, because lots of schools have the day off.
Yes.
So I think you're going to get a big crowd there today.
I can tell you some Jersey schools are already out, as my kids had their last day yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Long Island, we are not
yet. First day of summer, yep.
Oof. Damn.
There you go.
Damn.
The march to Labor Day begins.
Oh, man, it is funny. When it's the same thing every year. It's funny. I guess Gina doesn't remember, but like in the beginning, she's like, oh, it's so great to have the girls off. This is awesome. We could do stuff. And then by the end, it's like, why did school stop?
Yep.
We should have put him in another camp.
By the end. How about by, like, you know, week two?
Yeah, true. You're right. Yeah. Middle of summer. Yeah. Eyeball hanging out.
Oh, God. So I don't know if we thank Friday the 13th or Evan and Marash, who were on that day debating who the better team was, Mets or Yankees, because since then, as we alluded to at the start of this segment, baseball locals have combined to go 0-11. Here was the Mets part from last night.
The 0-1. Terence hits one towards second base. Albies has it. Flipped to second in time for the force. Ball game. The Mets get shut out tonight in Atlanta by Chris Sale.
Keith Rad, final call. Odyssey Mets Radio, 5-0 the final, as Sale nearly went the distance. 8 2/3, a 5-hit ball, 7 strikeouts. Ronald Acuna Jr. greeted Paul Blackburn with a home run on his first pitch. It was 3-0 after 1. Matt Olson later homered as well. So the Mets are going through it right now. 5 straight losses, their longest skid since last May. Francisco Lindor says you got to stay the course.
We got to dig deep and continue to climb. At the end of the day, everybody here wants it, and we all understand it's a long year. We're going to deal with adversity, put our heads down, and work as hard as you can to get back to the winning side, and then don't look back.
Lindor, Soto, Alonso combined to go 0-for-12 with 5 strikeouts in this one. Mets will try to avoid the sweep tonight with Clay Holmes on the mound. Spencer Strider goes for Atlanta. 7:15 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Now, if you're looking for pitching reinforcements, Frankie Montas in his latest rehab start for AAA Syracuse last night. 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs on 80 pitches. That actually lowered his ERA in this rehab outing from 15.43 to 13.19. Maybe he's just saving the good stuff for the big leagues when he gets back.
At this point, it really doesn't. Like, the Mets have to use him, don't they? I mean, like, they can't look at his performance in these rehab starts and be like, we can't pitch him because there's only X amount of rehab starts you can make. So you have to make a decision, and soon, they just signed him to this contract, and I mean, this could be ugly.
He's going to pitch. It's just a matter of when. We'll see how he does when he gets to the big club. NBA Finals Game 6 tonight in Indiana. The Thunder go for the closeout of the Pacers, trying to capture their first NBA championship since the move to Oklahoma City. Tyrese Haliburton, game time decision for the Pacers with the aggravated right calf strain. He was asked about the importance of being smart about the injury, even though it is the finals and the series and the season for the Pacers is on the line.
I think I have to be as smart as I want to be. I have to understand the risks, ask the right questions. But I'm a competitor. I want to play. I'm going to do everything in my power to play.
And they're expected to take it down to the wire later this afternoon or into the evening before making a decision ahead of tip-off shortly after 8:30. NFL Lamar Jackson this week publicly implored Ravens GM Eric DaCosta to go get his college teammate, corner Jair Alexander. And pretty much a day later, the team obliged as Alexander signs a one-year deal in Baltimore 9 days after he was released by the Packers. So those two reunited after playing together at Louisville. Travelers Championship from TPC River Highlands is underway. It's the final signature event of the season for the PGA Tour. Interesting exchange and answer from Scotty Scheffler. I guess this was yesterday, coming off the grueling and difficult U.S. Open at Oakmont. You come to this tournament, which is usually a birdie fest.
Last year, 22 under par got you into a playoff. I mean, 22 under par didn't even win. Is this course, given as the last signature event on the PGA Tour for the season, is this course too easy?
You know, Golf's funny in that sense. I think people when they watch golf, it's not like other sports where you want us to look like y'all when we play golf.
And that concept doesn't quite make sense to Scheffler. As he said, he finds it kind of funny when you compare it to other sports.
You watch the NBA and you're like, man, I wish they couldn't dunk. You know, I wish they were scoring less. I wish their shooting percentage was lower on three pointers. And like, if you watch tennis, you're like, man, I wish the ball was going slower so they look like, you know, me out there playing tennis. It's not like that.
It is true when you think of it that way.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't agree. I mean, right. You know, because most of these golf tournaments that they play in, somebody's shooting 15 to 20 under to win, and that includes the Masters, by the way. But when I think about the U.S. Open, I've always thought it was the toughest test in golf, and they do that on purpose, and they make the players frustrated, just like we are when we play.
Well, but there are people out there who enjoy sort of the carnage. And his point is, like, you don't have...
It's the only sport that happens.
Exactly.
But that's the only time that happens. It's what, every other time it doesn't happen. Yeah. I mean, now, it may happen a little bit in a Ryder Cup because Gio and I played the black course the other day, and it's going to be a hard test of golf for them. There's no question about that. But it's not going to be as hard as Oakmont, but it's going to be tough.
Well, it's also, you know, most of these sports, you know, you have different dimensions in baseball, but they're played in a fixed...
Right. And these are also guys who, you know, back in the day when Jack Nicklaus was pounding balls 290 yards, he wasn't doing it with all the equipment that these players are playing with today. And even Jack Nicklaus said the balls are significantly different and more improved from when he played.
Yeah, I'm sure if there was like a gimmicky thing in football where, you know, you had to play on a high school field or something and you see these guys in a different environment or whatever it would be. I mean, we'd be interested in that, too. It's just that, I mean... Yeah, he's right about the fact that it's the only sport where we want to see carnage, but it's not apples to apples. It's in a completely different situation. Every golf course is so different. The challenges are so different. Where every other sport, it's the same thing over and over again.
But the U.S. Open, historically, has always been played on tough golf courses.
Yeah, of course.
And they've always had them set up that way, too.
Yes.
That's why you play at Shinnecock. That's why you play at Oakmont. That's why they play at the black course. That's, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, to me, it's about shot making after shot making after shot making, and then ultimately putting if you can. And the fact that J.J. Spaun made that last putt, that's the way you win a golf tournament. And that was a grind for all of those guys.
Did that baby Rory McIlroy talk or no?
Baby, I did. There was a quote from him. Let me find that because I
actually spoke to the media. Little brat.
Yeah, I don't have the audio, but he said because he missed the Travelers last year.
Yep, that's
and he
right.
referenced that. He said he was licking his wounds from Pinehurst, and of course, he lost to DeChambeau. He says, "But I made a commitment to be back this year. I'm excited to be back. I think the weeks after major championships in these events, sometimes when you're in contention and you're trying to win them, it can feel quite difficult to go play the next week." After a week like I had at Oakmont last week, when you're not quite in the mix, but you might find something in your game, you're excited to come back and play again. So I look forward to the week. This is the perfect sort of chaser for what Oakmont was last week. Nice to get out on a golf course when you feel you can make quite a few.
Yeah,
birdies.
I mean, that's why this golf course, you know, or this golf tournament usually ends up with really, really low scores.
And that was the question they asked Scheffler. Yeah. And his answer eventually was, you're rewarded for good shots, but you are punished for bad shots. So he feels that
Rory
it's a
Rory was terrible at the Canadian Open 2 weeks ago.
He was, yes.
Brutal. He didn't even make the cut.
Yeah. Well, to our point about TPC River Highlands, Davis Riley has birdied his first three holes, and he is already at 3 under par in the early going of that tournament. One other thing I want to get...
Was he an alternate, too? He might have been an alternate.
Was he?
Yeah.
I saw somebody withdrew this morning. Was he the one that got in this morning?
He might have been.
Well, he's ready to go. stepped out
crazy.
Of the course. Birdie. There you go. Did you guys see that you've infiltrated a new demographic, by the way?
No.
Kindergartners.
Oh, I did see this.
Listener
yes,
Laura
yes.
posted to you guys on X a photo, and she wrote, quote, my kindergartner drew Boomer and Geo at some point this year. No clue why, but it came home in his end of year folder. And she wrote, I'm dying, like with laughter. And his little stick figure pencil drawing colored over with crayon. One of you was in blue. The other was yellow. Not sure which one.
Well, he's definitely yellow. Blonde.
Yeah, probably. And the kid wrote Boomer and Geo below
right,
his drawing.
And I think the yellow was bigger than the blue, right?
I didn't take note of that.
Yeah.
But that would make sense. Yeah, and I know you need to feel bigger after...
It's better than being orange.
...standing next to the intern yesterday. Better than being orange? Yeah, I would agree with that.
TV's going to have the picture in just a minute. But yes, Davis Riley was the alternate. So Brian
from
Camp...
From this morning.
Yes, from this morning.
Wow.
So he's hanging around, not thinking he's going to play in the tournament. There's the
there
picture right there.
The blue looks a little...
I guess it's me.
The blue looks a little taller.
Yeah, it is so. True. Yeah.
And the yellow's got... I don't know if those are arms or a belly sticking out there a little bit. Let's hope it's
spelled Boomer and Geo correctly,
yeah,
though.
Yes.
And I think maybe that is the big intern in the middle. Maybe it was, right. It was based on yesterday's post.
I originally thought it was a balloon, but now that you say that, yes, it probably is.
Putting his arms around you guys, giving you a hug.
Awesome. So that's Lachlan, right? Is that what it says up there?
Looks like it.
Pretty good.
That what is a 20 kg? What does those numbers mean? What do we think?
2D kg R30. I have no idea. Don't know, but
can't
that's pretty cool.
That.
Very
yeah.
cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Brian Campbell withdrew this morning from the Travelers and replaced by Davis Riley, who shows
go.
Up and then birdies the first
three. Well, Schefter can be out there breaking down his round on ESPN Plus.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Congratulations to our own Anne Liguori, who last night won a Gracie Award.
Well, it was actually at a luncheon yesterday.
Oh, well, sorry. A luncheon yesterday.
Yes.
So during luncheon hours, she won a Gracie Award. It's her second Gracie Award, and this one was for her show Talkin' Golf, which you can hear right here on WFAN.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to become one of the presenters for the award yesterday. And I like the way they did it. They actually do it in groups.
Yeah.
And there were 12 awardees where I was introducing them and told a few stories. And I was just glad that they did not confuse me with Phil Simms.
Yeah.
Saw the great Jane Pauley there, who gave an amazing speech yesterday. Martha Teichner, I believe, from CBS News, was the Legacy Award winner. I told her after the fact, I don't think she knew who I was, but I said, you know, that is a speech that I would like to bottle up and send to my granddaughters because of her her history and what she had to go through to get to where she is today. And so, yeah, it was a great luncheon, and I was very happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, a little birdie told me you were a hot commodity there at the Gracie Awards. There was a particular woman whose high school crush was you, and she'd never met you before, and it was sort of like a me and Dua Lipa moment for her at this Gracie Awards luncheon.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. That was Annie Howell.
Oh, okay.
From Hallmark.
Oh, all right.
And yes, Annie said she had a couple crushes in the audience, and I happened to be one of them.
Couple of crushes?
Well, a couple of people she worked with and some people that she really thought very highly of. Mm. And yeah, so immediately...
There you
Jane
go.
Jane Pauley had to take a shot at me, and I was just glad I was to be the man to get the shots being taken.
Oh, really? She ended up being like the subject of a mini roast there.
Yes, a little bit. But wow. No, but in a very nice way. So thank you, Annie. I did say thank you, Annie, for turning me red.
Yeah, and congrats again, Anne Liguori.
Yeah.
And
I'm sleeping.
And Liguori, can you see me tonight?
I thought shorts a little tight, cause that's the way I see them in my head.
Take you out to dinner, I'll be everything you need.
You know, I told you I met the guy who wrote that and sung that song.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know where I met him?
Out east somewhere.
At one of your favorite restaurants.
Tutto il giorno?
Yes, that's right.
Ah! Yeah.
But that was many, I want to say it's like 6 or 7 years ago.
Probably was, yeah. Yeah, that guy came in. He was writing an article for like the New Yorker or something on Ann and said, hey, before I leave, here's a song that I wrote for Ann. And it was just me and Ann back in the old Studio C in Astoria. And I put that on and it was one hell of an experience. So she was blushing as this man was talking about listening to Ann and sleeping with the fan on and dreaming of her shorts being tight. And honestly, it's one of my favorite songs ever for multiple reasons. One, the guy sounds like Stevie Wonder in this thing. It's just amazing. How good it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, and listening to that for the first time.
Are those shorts a little tight?
That's the way I see them in my head.
That's kind of how I felt when Annie said this about me yesterday.
Oh, okay, yes. Not Anne Liguori, but Annie Howell.
Annie Howell, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Very sweet.
Very sweet, very good. Jason in Westfield joins us on The Fan. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, fellas. So this morning, Boomer, you were busting on CeeLo for what he was wearing.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking of you as running a tight ship. And last week, you guys were talking about a younger fans might want to fire Thibodeau and older fans might not. And you said, be careful for what you wish. And I thought to myself, man, this guy's buttoned up, right? No loose ends, no dangling prepositions. The world needs more Boomer. And to this point, by the way, all right, so I don't know who's running the calls today because he's a very nice man, but he had no idea what this call's about. Like he's like, what do you mean a dangling preposition? He has no idea. So the world needs more of that, Boomer. Get out there and make America great. See ya.
All right. Appreciate it, Jason.
Yeah. Well, no loose ends, something we've talked about many times. And I didn't, I came to work with you thinking that I had no loose ends, and you. Any other loose ends that were there were tied up immediately. Sometimes there's loose ends you don't even realize about. And then you'll point them out and you go, hey, loose end.
Clean it up.
Don't like the loose end. There's nothing worse than if Boomer shows up somewhere, it's supposed to be a car there or whatever, luggage doesn't go to the right place, hotel room isn't correct, stuff like that.
Get a rental car with a cloth interior.
Oh, boy. You get something like that,
ugh.
It is your day is going to be ruined. No loose ends is hashtag no loose ends.
That's why Allie's having such a hard time.
Yeah, I know. It's she's like the Anthony Volpe of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. A lot of promise, not a lot of delivery.
No. She's delivering. You're tough on her.
Oh, I'm tough on her. You just said that's why it's so hard for Allie.
Yeah, but I was
saying. She's having a tough time.
I knew I would get a, definitely get a. Rise out of you.
No, it's funny. Because she gets the reason we do that, of course, to her, and she is doing a great job for you, of course, is because she does take it seriously when we joke around. It's funny. She comes in the next day and yells at us.
I didn't mess that up.
Like, I know. Relax. Really, Jesus.
Just, man, have you ever been in the car with her?
No.
She doesn't like the parallel park.
Well, she's... Once again,
she's
here. We are again. It's not every woman. I'm sorry, it's not everyone. But
she is not a parallel parker. She's afraid to park.
I mean, if you saw Gina try to get out of the driveway with my car, so sometimes we have to swap cars for whatever reason.
Yes.
So the driveway, you know, it goes up and then it mouths open, you know, so. Her car, she can go straight back. But my car, you got to turn, you know, and then get out.
Okay.
And
you have backup cameras.
Right.
But she probably does not know how to use that.
Right. There's more cameras in these cars than they have at the CIA, you know, at Langley.
Yes.
So she cannot back up and turn and get out of the driveway.
And the other day, she had to go somewhere, and I'm inside with the girls. And she goes, all right, I'll see you later. A minute and a half later, she's calling me. And I'm like, well, what? You just left. What's? I see my car tilted in the landscaping over the Belgian block with the door open and her going, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I'm like, all right, stop before you run over another bush. And let me get in and let me do this.
I mean, it is unbelievable.
I mean, and she knows it.
She's like, she'd like to flatten the boxes.
No.
She'd kick and pull out of the driveway.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of stuff I don't do, but yeah. Wonder Fan Lagore, there you go. You and Ann from the Gracie Awards luncheon yesterday. I wonder if she can parallel park.
Well, I said to Ann, I said, man, my head is so much bigger than yours.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
And that was a tight close-up.
She's definitely not cutting down her own cardboard boxes.
Oh, no.
Scott does that for her.
Yeah, but she's driving all over the place. She went to Oakmont. She's up at the Travelers this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Doing her thing, talking golf.
And that's why she won a Gracie. She cares, and it comes across.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.